Of Gimel Amud Aleph, and we spoke last time that we met about the issue of Mivatlin Talmud Torah le Mitzvahs Mikra Megillah. We know that we are Mivatl Torah in order to perform the Mitzvah Mikra Megillah. I'd like to begin this evening with a passage from the Chafetz Chaim, where he writes in the Sefer Shem Olam, and he has the same idea also in the Bir Halacha as well, where he says the following, V'hine, Etzem HaLimud, when we learn Torah, Af Kishuhu Lomed B'Yechidi, obviously even when a person learns privately by themselves, Gam kei mekayim mitzvahs asei shel Talmud Torah. Obviously, we are in fulfillment of the mitzvahs asei of Talmud Torah. V'higis b'yom v'alayla mikal makom. Even though that is the case, that when we learn by ourselves, we are certainly in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Still, he says, mitzvah lahader kol ma sheyuchal lilmud b'chabura. We should try our best to learn together as a group, to learn b'chabura. Sh'al yidei zeh, because by learning together as a group, Miskadesh Shem Shamayim Yoser. There is a greater Kiddush Hashem that emanates from the fact that we are all studying the Torah together. When you have many people coming together to serve the Ribono Shel Olam together and certainly to learn His Torah, that is considered to be obviously a greater Kiddush Hashem. Kamosha Kasav Rabbeinu Yonah B'Shari Tshuva. V'chein Amru Chazal B'Kama Mekomos, and says the Chafetz Chaim, Chazal write in many places that Berov Am Hadras Melech. So if we assume that Berov Am Hadras Melech applies to other mitzvahs HaTorah that we perform throughout the year, then certainly the greatest mitzvah of them all, which is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, when we are engaged in the study of Torah, there is no greater way to do it than it be done b'chabura. And that is something that is really the impetus for all the shiurim that we have, for all the public gatherings that we have, for all the opportunities that give us to learn together. It is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Berov Am Hadras Melech. The reason I make mention of this statement of the Chafetz Chaim is because where we are up to in the Gemara Megillah is the following. Just to refresh our memories, number Beis, the Gemara told us a very surprising statement. Kohanim ba'avodasam. We have Kohanim who are doing their service in the Beis HaMikdash. V'levi'im biduchanam. And you have the Levi'im standing there ready to do their job in the Beis HaMikdash. V'Yisrael b'ma'amadan. What does that mean? We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we have rotations of regular Jews who are not Kohanim, not Yisraelim, not Levi'im, coming to the Beis HaMikdash on a rotation. And it is their turn just to spend their day there and not be engaged in anything else other than watching all that's going on in the Beis HaMikdash. All of those people who are there on the occasion of Purim, Kulan Mivatlan Avodasan, all of them stop whatever it is that they're doing, Uvayin Lishmoa Mikra Megillah, and they come out of the Beis HaMikdash to go to the local shul to hear the Mikra Megillah on Purim. And from here the Gemara says, Mikan Samchu Shal Beis Rebbe. This is where Rebbe got the idea, Shemivatlin Talmud Torah Uvayin Lishmoa Mikra Megillah. From here Rebbe learned that this is an overarching principle, that everybody should stop whatever they're doing, even if you're engaged in the study of Torah, you should stop what it is that you're doing to go and fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, Kal V'chomer Me'avoda. If Umah Avoda Sheichamura Mivatlina, and if we're willing to stop the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and tell the Kohanim to drop everything they're doing to go hear the Megillah, then Talmud Torah Lo Kel Shekein, then certainly we would tell the Kohanim to stop learning Torah. I'm sorry, we would tell anybody to stop learning Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Now, the Prima Gadim points out in Siman Tav Reish Pei Zayin that we have a Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Chaf Hei, where the Gemara says every day they used to offer a Karban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash. How many Kohanim were necessary to offer a Karban Tamid? You'll think just one, right? Because all you need is one Kohen to put the animal on the Mizbeach and to do the Shechita and do the Avoda. But says the Gemara, no. They used to have Yud Gimel Kohanim Zochim Ba'avodas HaTamid. Every day they used to have 13 Kohanim involved in all of the numerous avodas that were necessary to sacrifice the Karban Tamid every day on the Mizbeach. Because one person did the Shechita, somebody else, they were mezaket to do the Holacha, to bring the blood to the Mizbeach, and a different one was honored with burning all the limbs on the Mizbeach, and everybody had a different job, and therefore, says the Gemara, we used to divide it up into 13 different people's jobs, that everyone should have a part in the opportunity of offering the Karban Tamid. And says the Prima Gadim, even though you have a minimum of 13 people in the Beis HaMikdash awake at 6 o'clock in the morning to offer the Karban Tamid, still our Gemara says, Mevatlin Talmud Torah the Shmar Mikra Megillah. Our Gemara says, you have a minion in the Beis HaMikdash. We can all just stay where we are, take out a Megillah and lay in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet the Prima Gadim says, although we had a minion, we stop everything we're doing and we encourage all of them to go to the local shul. Why is that the case? Well, he says, based on the Rishonim's interpretation in our Gemara, it is simply because of Berov Am Hadras Melech. It's true you have a minyan in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have Kohanim who are there anyway, and you have Levim and Yisraelim, and everyone's around. And we can certainly fulfill our mitzvah here. But if we have the opportunity to go to shul, and to have the Mikra Megillah in the presence of far more than just those who are gathered in the Beis HaMikdash, we should do that because we have the opportunity to fulfill the Hidur mitzvah of Berov Am Hadras Melech. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Even if I'm in a shul that has 100 people, but I can go to a shul that has 500 people, then the Mishnah Berurah writes, there's Berov Am Hadras Melech to go to the shul where they're going to have Mikra Megillah performed in the presence of many more, even though I have a minyan, and I even have more than a minyan in my shul, that is still not going to be parallel to the place where I can get the Mikra Megillah done with many, many more people. The Netziv writes in a Sefer Haimek She'ela, which is a commentary on the Shiltos, he says he doesn't really understand. Our Gemara goes out of the way to say, Mivatlin Talmud Torah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, that if a person is sitting and learning in yeshiva, if a person's in the middle of a chavrusa, he should go and stop what you're doing to go hear the Mikra Megillah in shul. He says, don't we know? We have a halacha which is, Osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. Normally we assume, when I'm in the middle of engaging myself in one mitzvah, I'm not supposed to drop that mitzvah and do something else. The one exception to that rule is, one of the exceptions to the rule is, Talmud Torah. If a person is learning Torah, we don't say, oh, you're learning Torah, so you know what? Don't stop learning for saying Kriya Shema today, and don't stop learning to put on tefillin. We say, everybody who's learning has an obligation not only to learn Torah, but also to practice the laws of the Torah that they learn. After all, the whole objective of our Talmud Torah is, Lilmod Amadas Lasos. We're supposed to learn Torah in order that we know how to fulfill the mitzvah HaTorah that we are instructed to do. So therefore, writes the Netziv, if we always assume throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, that if a person is engaged in Talmud Torah, you're supposed to stop what it is that you're doing to go and fulfill a mitzvah that comes your way, why would I have thought that Mikra Megillah is any different? Our Gemara has to come up with a whole Chiddush. The Gemara says, from here, Rabbi learned the Chiddush, that if somebody's learning Torah on the night of Purim, you should stop what you're doing to go and hear Mikra Megillah. Of course you stop what you're doing. The same way you stop learning Torah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, and the same way you stop learning in order to do any other mitzvah that you would do, why is it a Chiddush here that you have to stop learning in order to go hear the Mikra Megillah on the night of Purim? I think it's a very strong question. So the Netziv answers based on what we said. And that is, the Netziv tells us, normally we would assume, if a person is learning on Sukkos, and now he comes across the mitzvah of shaking the Dalet Minim, we would tell him, you have to stop learning in order to fulfill your mitzvah of shaking the Dalet Minim. That is the mitzvah that calls for your attention right now. And the same applies if a person is in the middle of learning, and now it's time to light the Chanukah candles, we'll say, stop your learning in order to do the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, and you go back to learn later. However, we never find, says the Netziv, that a person should stop their learning for a hiddur mitzvah. That we do not find. For example, he says, let's say a person has the ability, they're in the middle of learning, and it's one day of Sukkos, I have a Dalet Minim right here with me. I could pick up the Dalet Minim, make the bracha, do my mitzvah, and go back to learn. It wouldn't be such a bittul Torah, it would take me 3.5 minutes. But I know that if I walk 5 blocks away to the shul, somebody has a very mehudur Dalet Minim that they paid hundreds of dollars for, they're willing to lend it to me, that I should do my mitzvah with their very mehudur set of Dalet Minim. Nowhere do we find in halacha that I have a right to be mevatel Torah just for the hiddur mitzvah alone? Just so that I can shake a Dalet Minim that's fancier than the one that I have here? If there's one available here, you may as well do it and get back to learning. And here writes the Netziv, this is a very big chiddush. Our Gemara says that we are allowing someone to be mevatel Torah, not in order to perform the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Here we are sitting in the Beis Medrash, we can stop learning right now, and we can just read the Megillah together. And the Gemara says, no, that's not good enough. You're supposed to stop learning Torah, go 10 blocks away to the shul, because it's going to have hundreds more people than you have together with you in the Beis Medrash. So just for the small factor of Berov Am Hadras Melech, which enhances the mitzvah a little bit, it gives it a sense of Berov Am Hadras Melech, which is just a hiddur mitzvah, for that alone as well, writes the Netziv, it is worthy of a person being mevatel Torah. And that, in fact, is a chiddush. And that's what our Gemara means to say. Our Gemara means to teach us that it is worthy of a person to be mevatel Torah, even if it's an exaggerated bittul Torah, just for the simple reason of Berov Am Hadras Melech when it comes to a person fulfilling the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Now the Magen Avraham writes the same idea, that if you have a person who's learning in a small base medrash on any other day of the year, nothing to do with Purim, Magen Avraham can be found in Hilchos Tefillah, where he says that if a person is learning in a small base medrash, and we have a minyan for Mincha, we have a minyan for Meirav, whatever it might be, and I have the opportunity to go to a Beis HaKnesses HaGadol, so he says that Ein sarach levatol milimudo lalechas lehispalo bebeis haknesses hagadol. Even though you're right, Barovam Hadras Melech would dictate that I should go to the bigger shul, writes the Magen Avraham, if it's a toss-up between Bittul Torah and Hidur Mitzvah of Tefillah, again, I have an opportunity to daven where I am now. We have 10, 20 people, it's good enough. Says the Magen Avraham, you don't have a right to do extra Bittul Torah and to go blocks and blocks away in order to fulfill your Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's not something you should do because, after all, we know Talmud Torah keneged kulam. There's nothing that equals this opportunity of learning Torah. However, when you have a regular person who has the option to either daven here or daven there, and I'm not learning Torah. Either I'm at the movies or I'm at a baseball game, and now I come home and I need to daven Maariv, and I have an option either to daven in the big shul or to daven in the small shtiebel. There, we certainly would assume that a person should go out of their way as much as they can to daven with a bigger minyan and not to go for the smaller one. Now, it seems pretty clear that by all mitzvahs we have this notion, this idea, this concept of Berov Am Hadras Melech. We try as best as we can to fulfill the mitzvah in the presence of many, with the participation of many. But by Mikra Megillah, as we mentioned, it seems that this is more pronounced than it would otherwise be by many other mitzvahs. If you hear from Maariv, Maariv is going to be in the main shul, right next door. So, by Mikra Megillah, we certainly would say that this would be more pronounced, it would be more of an obligation than we otherwise would have by any other mitzvah. However, the Mishneh Berurah writes in Siman Taf Reish Pei Tes, in the name of the Pri Megadim, and I brought this over here, number Gimel, Mishneh Berurah says, Va'achshav, Roi L'chalechad Shiyil O Megillah K'sheira. Even though it's true, Berov Am Hadras Melech, and certainly when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we should try Berov Am Hadras Melech, like our Gemara goes out of its way to teach us. Still, says the Mishneh Berurah, we have a practice today that people have their own Megillahs, that they come to Shul on Purim night, and they'll lane along with their own Megillah. Why do they do that? Doesn't that take away from Berov Am Hadras Melech? Don't we have the opportunity to be Yotzei our Mitzvah with the Chazan all together? So why are we laning from our own private Megillah? Says the Mishneh Berurah, because Achshav Roi L'Chalechad Shiyil O Megillah K'sheira V'likro B'Lachash Mila B'Mila. And we should read along with the Baal Koreh, we should read along from our own Megillah. That doesn't mean if you have a printed Chumash, you should read along, because you're supposed to be reading from a cloth. So if you don't have your own Megillah, then you listen to the Chazan, you listen to the Baal Koreh. But if you do have your own Megillah, writes the Mishneh Berurah, it is preferable that a person make sure that they read along Mila B'Mila. Why? Doesn't that take away from the aspect of Berov Am Hadras Melech? He says, "Di efshe l'shmoa mehashatz meachmas rash u'bilbul shemakim be'etzim u'mashmiim kol." We all know we have a lot of children who make a lot of noise, and a lot of adults who like to make a lot of noise, and sometimes, unfortunately, it makes us miss a word here or a word there in the middle of Mikra Megillah. And therefore, he says, "Roi l'chol Yisrael linho kain mishayichol es biyado." He says, obviously, buying your own cloth, your own Megillah, is going to be an expensive venture. It's not something everybody can afford. But he says if a person is able to afford it, the Mishneh Berurah recommends in the name of the Pri Megadim, it would make sense that you should try to be machmir, to have your own Megillah, and to read along the words, even though you're losing out on this notion of Berov Am Hadras Melech. Why? Because we assume, he writes, that it's better for a person to say every word and to make sure they hear and accountable for every word, as opposed to missing out a word because of those who might be making too much noise in the middle of Mikra Megillah. So although it's true, Berov Am Hadras Melech is certainly a Heder Mitzvah. And when it comes to Mikra Megillah, it's something that is even more important than by a regular Mitzvah that we find throughout the year. But when it's going to infringe on my opportunity to perform the Mitzvah properly, we would rather you give up on this idea of Heder Mitzvah and just perform the Mitzvah simply the way it's supposed to be done. This is similar to a comment made by the Pischei Tshuva in Yeruday. The Pischei Tshuva has a comment there where he says, yes, it's true that Berov Am Hadras Melech dictates that if I have a big shul in the neighborhood, I should daven there in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Berov Am. However, he says, there are some people who enjoy to have a quieter minyan. There are some people who enjoy and have more kavana when they're able to be more focused and less commotion around. Many different kinds of people, and therefore writes the Pischei Tshuva in Yeridea, if it's going to negatively impact your davening by going to this shul or that shul, certainly, he says, you have every right and every obligation to forego the idea of Berov Am Hadras Melech in order to perform the mitzvah in the best possible way you can do so by having the kavana that is necessary to fulfill your davening properly. Yeah. Whenever we talk about Berov Am Hadras Melech, one has to ask themselves, how many are necessary in order to have this fulfillment of Berov Am Hadras Melech? That's a very interesting question. Now, I remember about a year or two ago, I had invited Rav Asher Weiss to come here to the shul on one occasion, and for some reason I wasn't able to pick him up in the airport. I don't remember what was going on. I think he had a flight. He was coming here for Shabbos, but before he came here, he went from here to LaGuardia to fly to Florida maybe for the day. I forgot already what was going on. So I didn't have a chance to go and pick him up and to drive him around. So I asked one of my friends to pick him up in the airport and to drive him to the other airport and drop him off wherever he needed to be. So I remember they came in, his flight was delayed, and he wasn't going to make it here for Shacharis before his next flight. So my friend came into the airport, and he was holding his tefillin, and Rav Asher Weiss was holding his tefillin, so he said, you know, let's daven, because I'm going to miss this man before my next plane. So my friend said, yeah, we don't have time to make it to the shul before we get to the next airport. So that's what they did. So Rav Asher Weiss said a chiddush to him on that occasion, which was interesting, and this is why it's important to spend time with great Talmid HaChacham, because he learned things that you would never think of. He said, it's better that we daven two people together than that I daven b'yechidus by myself. Why? What does it help if you daven two people together than one by himself? After all, you're not davening with a minion. So once you don't have a minion, what does it help if you have two versus one? So he said, the Gemara says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes b'tfilasam shel Rabim. The Ribono Shel Olam never turns a blind eye to the tefillah of a Rabim. And he says, the Gemara says, Miyad Rabim Shnayim. The Gemara says in another place. So he put two Gemaras together. He said, whenever you have two people, that's already considered a Rabim. So he said, why should I daven b'yechidus? Once I'm davening b'yechidus by myself, I don't have a minion. At least we should be mahadar that we should have two people instead of having one by himself. So he encouraged my friend also not to go to shul in order to help him fulfill this idea of Miyad Rabim Shnayim. So although that's true, that two is already considered a Rabim, the question is, dealt with in the Acharonim, when would you assume that we have a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Berov Am Hadras Melech? How many are necessary in order to fulfill this obligation of Berov Am? Is two good enough, or do you need more than two in order to fulfill that Hidr mitzvah of Berov Am? So this is a major question. If you look in Maseches Brachos Daf Membeis, the Gemara tells us how Yoshvim Lechol, when you have a bunch of people sitting together to eat, Kalechad Mevarech La'atzmo, each person makes a bracha on their own. However, Hasebu, if they're leaning, meaning, back in the days of the Gemara, they used to have a kviyas suda. How did you know if people were being koveya suda together? If they actually used to lean. So therefore, says the Gemara, if they're leaning and they're all clearly intending to eat with one another, then we say, echad mevarech lekulam, then one is able to make the bracha on behalf of all them. And this is also quoted in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes, rabim shenizvadu lechol paso lishtos yayin. If you have a lot of people who got together, for whatever reason, they're having a meal or they're drinking wine. And one person makes the bracha, bori pri agafen, one person makes hamotzi lechem in haaretz, and everyone answers, hare elu mutaran lecha v'lishtos. All of us can fulfill our obligation of that bracha by listening to the person who made it. Aval, im lo nischabnu lecha ke'echad, if we don't have in mind that we all want to eat together, ela zeh b'me'atzmo v'zeh b'me'atzmo, each person happens to show up on their own, and now you just end up in the cafeteria together. That is not called a kviyas suda. That is not called that we all join together here primarily for the purpose of eating together. And therefore, he says, in such a case, kalechad me'echad mevarech la'atzmo. So on this statement of the Rambam, there's a major discussion in the Kesef Mishnah there in Hilchas Brachos. How many people do you need in order to have this idea of Berov Am Hadras Melech? How many people do you need to sit together that we should say, as long as one person makes it, it's better, because he's making it on behalf of all of them, and it's better that he makes it than each one make by themselves. So this is a major discussion there. And he says that if you only have Shnayim, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin Daf Kuvav, that if you only have two people together, mitzvah lechalik, it's better that each person should make the bracha on their own. So the assumption there made by the Kesef Mishnah in the name of other Acharonim is that when you only have two people, that's not yet a fulfillment of Berov Am Hadras Melech. Once you are over that limit of two, once you have three or more, then we assume that is considered to be already a fulfillment of Berov Am Hadras Melech, and that is when we assume that it's best for one person to make the bracha on behalf of many. Okay, so now let's get to the question that Ari asked, and that is a very astute observation. If one looks through the Gemara carefully, and this is a problem with our generation, at least with my generation. So many people of my age like to use computers when they prepare shiurim, when they learn, and it's a great gift, it's a great bracha, because we can find all kinds of things that we were never able to look for, we never dreamt of finding in previous generations. The problem is that sometimes people inappropriately use sources, and they don't understand that it's totally out of context and has nothing to do with the sugya that they are discussing. It just happens to be the Gemara sometimes uses the same word here and the same word there, doesn't always mean the same thing. For example, one thing that comes to mind is, let's say the Prima Gadim writes, when you have the word chazaka in the Gemara, it means six different things in six different places. So sometimes you have people giving a shiur and they talk about a chazaka and they sound like they're such great Talmid Chachamim and they're quoting from all over the place. First of all, they're not such great Talmid Chachamim. Don't be fooled. None of us are so great. We don't know this on our own. So number one, you're not such a great Talmud Chacham because you just found it online somewhere and you found it on the computer. It's not such a big deal. But you also sometimes inappropriately put sugyas together that really do not belong together. Just because the Gemara says chazaka here doesn't mean the same thing as chazaka there. And that's the same thing when we talk about Berovam Hadras Melech. The Gemara points out that Berovam Hadras Melech is applied in many different cases when we have a mitzvah being performed. But not always does Berovam Hadras Melech mean the same thing. And what I mean by that is the following. We have three basic categories of where Berov Am Hadras Melech is applied. Category number one is the Gemara Maseches Yuma and Daf Ayin. So the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, I didn't put it on here, that on Yom Kippur, one of the highlights of the Avoda that was done was that the Kohen Gadol used to read from the Sefer Torah, and everybody used to gather around, everybody used to listen. And the Gemara says he would do it Bifnei Ha'am Ha'omdim Ba'azara. He used to read the Sefer Torah in front of everyone. Now, why was it necessary that he has this Kriyas HaTorah in front of the entire congregation? This was not a Chovas HaTzibur. We had no obligation as the community to read from the Sefer Torah. This was a mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol and of the Kohen Gadol only. Nobody else participated in it other than him. So why was it necessary that he do the Kriya in the presence of all of those who were standing in the Azara? Why can't he just go off into a corner and do it by himself and have the proper focus and the proper attention necessary to read from the Sefer Torah properly? And what you see from the Gemara says, Mishim Berov Am Hadras Melech, this is why he did it in the presence of many. What you see from the Gemara is that the first category of Berov Am Hadras Melech means when I have my own personal mitzvah that I'm supposed to perform. It has nothing to do with anyone else here. There's a reason for me to do it in the presence of many. Take for example, I made a bris milah this week. That was not the mitzvah of the community. That was not the mitzvah of everyone in the room. But Mishum Berov Am Hadras Melech, we assume the mitzvah is enhanced when I am performing my own personal mitzvah in the presence of many who are watching. Yeah. Right. Correct. Once he's reading it, so he has to let them know what exactly he's doing. That's what the Gemara says. Once he's reading from the Sefer Torah, he has to let everybody know where he's skipping and why he's skipping and what he's doing, because he doesn't want them to be misled, the Gemara says. But many assume that that Kriyas HaTorah is not a chiyuv that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. That's a chiyuv that applies only to the Kohen Gadol. That's part of his avodah on Yom Kippur. And yet he's supposed to do that in the presence of many. We have a medrash in number Vav, where the medrash says, Mitzvas HaOmer. You used to have one Kohen who would go and cut down the Omer in order to offer that in the Beis HaMikdash as a karban. So Mitzvas HaOmer, writes the medrash, how was it done? Kol ha'ayaros ha'smuchos l'sham, ha'yim miskansos l'sham. Everybody who lived near the place where the Omer stalks used to grow, wherever they were grown, I don't know exactly, all of the neighboring communities used to come out and used to watch as the Kohen or whoever was designated to do the job would chop down the Omer from the field. Why? What participation are you having by standing there? We're on a farm, only one person's going to do the job. It's not so hard to cut down a few stalks of grain. So why do we need everybody there? Says the Medrash, the reason why is Kadesh Yehe Niktzar Be'esek Gadol Shanemar Berov Am Hadras Melech. Once again, we have this first category of Berov Am, where only one person is performing a mitzvah, and yet we assume that that mitzvah is enhanced when we have many people who are watching, many people who are observing, many people who are there as the mitzvah is being performed. That is category number one of Berov Am Hadras Melech. Category number two that we find the Berov Am Hadras Melech is entirely different. We have a Gemara Maseches Psachim Daf Samach Dalet, where the Gemara tells us that there were many, many, many Kohanim that needed to be present on Erev Pesach. Why? Because you have millions of Jews who are coming, converging onto the Makom HaMikdash. Everybody is offering their Karban Pesach, and we have to make sure we have an efficient system running so that we don't lose everybody's Karbanos, that nobody forgets whose is whose. After all, a Karban Pesach is Nechal Liminuyav. The Karban Pesach can only be eaten by those who are accounted for in this particular Karban Pesach. So it was major pandemonium on Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says they used to have a system on Erev Pesach, the way they used to deal with the Hakravas Karban Pesach. What did they do? They had a long line of Kohanim, And one Kohen used to hand it to the next one, who used to hand the blood to the next one, used to hand to the next one, and the last one in the line used to pour it onto the Mizbeach, and then they had a line going back where they used to pass everything back to the person who it belonged to. And the Gemara says that we used to involve as many Kohanim as possible because Berov Am Hadras Melech. So that is yet a second factor that we find in this idea of Berov Am Hadras Melech. It doesn't mean the same thing. There it means there's one big mitzvah that needs to be performed. And the more people that we split up the mitzvah and allow entry into this mitzvah, the more enhanced the mitzvah is going to be. So if each one holds the blood for a half a second, that is going to have an enhanced participation for the mitzvah, and we refer to that also as Berov Am Hadras Melech. If you ever notice by a bris milah, when we want to make up kibudim for those who showed up that we didn't expect to be there, sometimes, you know, the mole will call out, this one is mechubed with agasha, and that one is mechubed with that. So what does that mean? What's that all about? That's based on this Gemara, where the Gemara says when you have a mitzvah that needs to be done, so you call upon a bunch of people along the way that they should also participate in the mitzvah. You should bring the baby to the front of the shul, and then this one should carry the baby a little bit, and everybody takes a little bit of the mitzvah, and that's also what we refer to as Berov Am Hadras Melech. So that is yet a second application, but it's not at all the same as the first Berov Am Hadras Melech. Now that is a very problematic statement in the first place. That Gemara Maseches Pesachim presents a major issue, because we have a Rashi in Parshas Ekev, where the Pasuk writes in Parshas Ekev, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom tishmerun la'asos. The Ribono Shel Olam warns all of us that the mitzvahs that he instructed us to perform, tishmerun la'asos, we have an obligation to make sure that we do them properly. So what does it mean, tishmerun la'asos? Obviously, if he asked us to do it, we should do it. So Rashi says it doesn't simply mean tishmerun la'asos. Obviously, you should try to do it. But Rashi says what it means is, im hischalta b'mitzvah, if you started off with a mitzvah and you're already on your way to perform it, gemaro sa, you should make sure, don't just start off the mitzvah, you should make sure to follow through with the mitzvah. Make sure you do the mitzvah in its entirety and complete it. Don't just start it off, you have to complete the mitzvah. Shein ha-mitzvah nikres ela al shem gomra, because the one who gets the credit for the mitzvah is the one who finishes it. So Rashi tells us here we have this idea of not only starting off a mitzvah, but making sure that we complete the entirety of the mitzvah as well. And this is based on, it's not based on, I'm sorry, the Mesilas Yesharim explains that this whole idea, why do we have this idea of hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar? Why do we assume that a person needs to be encouraged to finish the mitzvah as well? What does the Ribono Shel Olam care? As long as I make sure that the mitzvah is being done, so it's being performed, what's the problem? So writes the Mesilas Yesharim, the answer to that is very simple. Because the same way when one begins to perform a mitzvah, we say, Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvahs, you should put yourself together and do it as well as you possibly can. So too he says, this is a continuation of the idea of Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvahs. Doesn't just mean that you start the mitzvah as early as possible and you do it with alacrity, but it means that you finish off the mitzvah. That's part of the Zrizim. It shows that I'm enthusiastic if I'm not only willing to start it, but I'm willing to complete it and follow it through and not just hand it off to somebody else. That's when we assume Zrizim Akdim in the mitzvahs has been accomplished, and that is the explanation that the Mesilas Yesharim gives into this idea. And based on this, in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, we learn the halacha that the one who davens slichos for the amud is supposed to be mispalel kol hayom. Once you were designated as the chazan for slichos, the Shulchan Aruch assumes hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. We assume that person should not only say the slichos for the amud, but they should daven shachris and mincha as well. The Magen Avraham writes that we take this concept so far that he would even come before somebody who has yartzeit or somebody who's an avil. Chiddush. But that, writes the Magen Avraham, is how seriously we take this idea of hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. Now, as much as that's the case, the Binyan Shlomo, Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna, asked the Kasha, if that's true, that hamaschal b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar, and we say zrizim akdim in the mitzvahs and you should do it all by yourself, how do you explain this Gemara Maseches Pesachim where we say Berov Am Hadras Melech? No! Don't do it all by yourself. You should hand off to this one and let this one bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, and let this Kohen give it to the next one, and by Bris Mila you should split up all the kibudim and let everybody do it separately. Why do we do that? Why don't you say, once I started the mitzvah, and I'm the Kohen who's offering the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm the one who's tasked with doing the job from its beginning to its end, why am I handing it off to other people? Isn't that a Bizayin HaMitzvah? So he tries to figure out, where do we draw the line? Where do we say, no, this is a Hidr mitzvah to hand it off? And on the other hand, you say, no, it's a Zilzal HaMitzvah if you're going to hand it off. Not so clear exactly how to draw the line and how to figure out what the parameter is, but I think it's an interesting point to think about and to try to consider where we would draw that line and where we would say perhaps it's the right thing and where perhaps it might be an inappropriate thing to do. So this is, as we said, the second form of Berovam Hadras Melech. Many people taking part in one big mitzvah that needs to be done. And finally, we have the third aspect of Berovam Hadras Melech, which is a Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Gimel. Let's see in number Zayin. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Hayyoshvim Bebeis HaMedrish. When they were sitting in the Beis Medrash, learning on Matzai Shabbos, Veheviu Or Lifnehem, and now they bring a candle to make Havdalah. It's Masoi Shabbos, we have an obligation to make Havdalah. And we couldn't make Havdalah right after Shabbos because there was no candle available, so all the yeshiva bachrim sat down, and they continued to learn. And now somebody shows up with a candle. So now what do? Do we make a big announcement on the bima and say, okay, everybody stop learning, we're going to make one big Havdalah, everyone pay attention? Or do we just go to each chavrusa by themselves and say, look, we got a candle now, stop for 30 seconds, you make Havdalah, and then we'll pass it to the next one, and everyone will continue learning on their own, and this shouldn't be a problem. So this is a point of debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Beis Shammai Yomrim, in such a case, kol echad ve'echad mevarech le'atzmo. Each individual chavrusa, each individual person in the Beis Medrash should make the bracha on their own. Uveis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel say, no, echad mevarech le'kulam. You should have one person make a clap on the bima, stand in the middle of the room, and tell everybody that we want you to listen up because we're going to perform the mitzvah of Havdalah on behalf of all those present. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Berovam Hadras Melech. So says the Gemara. Beis Hillel says, Berovam Hadras Melech, that's why we should stop everybody from learning and that's why we should all do the mitzvah together. Why does Beis Shammai disagree? Doesn't Berovam Hadras Melech make a lot of sense? It's a good argument. So the answer that Beis Shammai gives is because Bitul Beis Medrash. Well, we all know how it works. You're going to get everyone to be quiet and then not everyone's going to be so quiet and you're going to have to wait more time than you otherwise would. Bottom line, if I went over to the first pair of guys learning in the Beis Medrash, I gave them the Havdalah, it would take them 30 seconds to make Havdalah, they would move on with the learning. But because we need to wait till everyone gets quiet, and then we have to get everything set up in the middle of the room, and everyone has to start crowding around and pushing the chairs and the tables around, so therefore Beis Shammai says it's going to lead to more excess Bitul Torah than necessary, and therefore he says it's worthwhile to limit the amount of Bitul Torah because Berovam Hadras Melech is not worthy enough of a reason to stop the people from learning for longer than they have to. So, once again, this is the third application of Berovam Hadras Melech, which is different than the first two. Because here you have a mitzvah which all the people present have an obligation to fulfill. And when we have a mitzvah that all of us need to do, there's this notion, there's this idea that we may as well have one person do it on behalf of all of us, instead of each one of us doing it privately on our own. That is yet a third application of Berov Am Hadras Melech, which as we said is not the same as the first two. This is totally different than the first two that we mentioned. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes that if a person has a choice to go to a shul which has a bigger minyan anytime, or a person can choose to go to a shul that has a smaller minyan, says the Mishnah Berurah, because we all have an obligation to daven together, and when we daven Chazaras Hashatz, that is one person davening on behalf of the entire congregation, on behalf of the entire tzibur, Berovam Hadras Melech dictates that we should all daven in the same shul together, and we should go to the bigger shul in order that we fulfill this obligation of Berovam Hadras Melech in the third category, that when we all have one obligation of Chazaras Hashatz together, we will all be able to fulfill it by having one chazan be motzi all of us together. And that again is the third place where we find Berovam Hadras Melech. The Minchas Chinuch, we're not quite ready for Pesach yet, but we're getting there. So the Minchas Chinuch has a very famous comment in which he discusses the nature of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we have an obligation, as we know, on the night of the Seder to talk about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Minchas Chinuch discusses whether or not Shomea Ka'ona is an option on the night of the Seder. Does each person at the Seder table have to say the words by themselves? Or is it good enough if one person says it on behalf of all of those present? So the Minchas Chinuch writes that he sees nothing wrong with one person doing it on behalf of all of them, the same way Shomea Ka'ona works by every other mitzvah that we do that involves Dibur, so too on the night of the Seder, he doesn't see any reason why that should be any different. And this is also the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, as quoted in the Maaseh Rav, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So it's true, the Vilna Gaon and the Lubavitcher Rebbe were not in agreement about some things, but about other things perhaps they were. So over here you have, both of them agree that it's okay to have Shomea Ka'ona. Writes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, if I'm not mistaken, not only is one allowed to have Shomea Ka'ona as an option on the night of the Seder, but he says we would encourage somebody to perform the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with Shomea Ka'ona. Why? Because Berov Amhadras Melech. Why would he have each person at the table say the Haggadah by themselves? Why would he have each person recite Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim on their own when you have the opportunity for one person at the head of the table to say it on behalf of everybody present? Isn't that the same as Chazaras Hashatz being said by one person, Berov Amhadras Melech? And isn't that the same as the Gemara says when we have Havdalah and everybody has the opportunity to say Havdalah in unison as one, we allow that to be done? So wouldn't that make sense? And therefore, writes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, this is the preferred opinion, this is the preferred option, because we want to make sure that we fulfill this idea of Berov Hadras Melech. Now the problem that we face is this really true? That every time we have a mitzvah that we have an obligation to fulfill together, we should have one person do it? Is that true? So we know that on some occasions, let's say Kiddush on Friday night, we all know, most have the practice that one person says it and everybody listens. In my home, it happens to be, I grew up, my father always said Kiddush, and we all listened. My children are young children, and we want to be mechanech them to learn how to say Kiddush. You know why? The truth is, the reason why my wife and I got into this idea of having our children say Kiddush is because we've eaten out at so many people's homes, and you get there, it's a disgrace. You have 60-year-old adults who don't know how to say the words of Kiddush. It's embarrassing. How did you go to yeshiva your whole life? You don't know how to say Kiddush? Pasuk and Chumash, it's a little bit embarrassing. So I said, my children are never going to be those kids who someone's going to eat at their house when they're 60 years old and they're not going to know how to say the words of Kiddush. So we decided we'll teach them from a young age to say the words of Kiddush. This way there should never be a problem later on. So this is what we do. So it's true. It takes away from Berov Hadras Melech, but when there's another factor involved of chinuch purposes and you think it's going to help the child to learn the words and how to say it by themselves, that is something that should be taken into consideration. But is it true that every time we have a bracha that all of us need to say, we should say it in unison, and we should have one person say it on behalf of all of us? Not always so simple. It's not always so clear that this is what we do. So the Tosefta writes in Maseches Brachos, look at number Ches on the bottom of the page. Tosefta writes, Asara shehayu osim eser mitzvos. When you have 10 different people who are doing 10 different mitzvos, so I'm sitting here being mafresh challah, and you're standing over there putting on your tefillin, and that person is standing over there being mafresh trumas and maizos, so everyone's doing something else, we all happen to be in the same room. Writes the Tosefta, obviously, because we're not even saying the same bracha. Everyone's doing something else. However, what if we're all coming to shul in the morning and we all need to put on tefillin? So we all come around the same time. So why don't we make an announcement? 2 minutes before brachas begins, everybody please be quiet. We're going to have the chazan make the bracha lehaniach tefillin on behalf of all of us. Wouldn't that make sense? So says the Tosefta, yes. He says, if you have a bunch of people that need to do the mitzvah all together, it is better that one person make the bracha on behalf of all them. And therefore the Achronim say, it would really make sense that when we come to shul in the morning, one person should make the bracha l'sate betzitzis for all of us, one person should make the bracha l'haniach tefillin for all of us. Obviously this is not what we do, but this is certainly what it seems from the simple understanding of the Tosefta that we just read. Now you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's a bit troubling why this is not really the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes the halacha. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch carefully, where he writes as follows. Im shnayim o shlosha misatvim betalas ka'achas, writes the Mechaber, if you have two or three people who are putting on a talis at the same time, meaning we come to shul early in the morning, and we're all about to do the mitzvah at the same time, kula mivarchim, writes the Mechaber, each person makes the bracha on their own. V'imratzu, however, if you want, he says, echad mevarech v'acherim yanu amen. So the Vilna Gaon jumps on this psak of the Mechaber and he says, what are you talking about? Why are you formulating the psak by saying, when you have everybody comes to shul in the morning and they want to put on a talis, they want to put on tefillin, or we're all standing around and we want to make the bracha adlakas neiros Shabbos, or adlakas neiros Chanukah, or whatever it is, so we should have each person do it himself. But if you want, one person can make it for all of us. What do you mean if you want? Isn't that the preferred option, Berov Hadras Melech? So the Vilna Gaon says he thinks this psak is a mistake. Not only that, Rabbi Kiva Eger says this psak is a major tzarachin in the Mechaber himself. Why? Because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Yud Gimel, the Mechaber himself doesn't write the way he writes here. Over there in Hilchos Brachos, the Mechaber says, Al kol haperos chutz mipas v'yayin. Im hayu ochlim shnayim o yoser, if you have everybody eating together, echad poter es chavero. Everyone is able to have one person make the bracha on behalf of all of us. So the Mechaber himself there says that is the preferred option, that when all of us have to make a bracha together, one person should do it on behalf of all of us. So why here does the Mechaber seem to say differently? Why here does he say, no, the preferred option is really each person should say on their own? However, if you'd like, you can all do it with one person being motzi everybody. This is a major question, as we mentioned. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not really sure how to answer the stira in Shulchan Aruch. Why is it in one place he says one thing, in one place he seems to say something else? And this is a major question. So the Chayyadin comes to the conclusion, he says, well, halacha l'maisa, the bottom line is that we're concerned people today don't have an attention span. If the Chayyadin was saying this 150 years ago, certainly today we really don't have an attention span. So you're really going to pay attention when the Chazan gets up. You ever look around the shul? If you hear from Marv, Marv's in the main shul. Sorry for those who are waiting. Marv's right next door. So if you ever look around, when we're in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, right, we have an obligation to listen to the words of Chazaras HaShatz. How many people in the shul are really able to sit there through the 5.5 minutes of Chazaras HaShatz without looking at their phone, without opening to the back of a sefer, without looking in the newspaper, something else? How many people are there really in the shul? And Lamaisa, it's important because it's a bracha levatel if we don't. If you don't have 10 people, I remember it made such an impression on me when I was a young child in camp. So Rabbi Moshe Brown from Farakoi, tremendous Talmud Chacham, he was the rabbi of the camp. And I was a waiter one summer. I would never do it again. And I was a waiter one summer in a camp. And I remember the waiters had to daven very early because we had to set up breakfast before the campers got there. So Rabbi Brown used to like to daven early. He didn't want to daven with the rest of the camp. So he used to come to the waiters' minyan. But the waiters are a bunch of bums. So Rabbi Brown, I felt bad for him. He used to come daven with our minyan. He was the only serious person. So we were all half sleeping and nobody was paying attention. I remember he made this announcement that like ripped my heart out of my, you know, I couldn't believe it. He made an announcement so many times throughout the summer. He used to get up in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. It's a bracha levatola. We're sitting here. You guys are sleeping. Nobody's answering amen. Nobody's listening. What kind of Chazaras HaShatz is this? And he's right. And I always think about it. I look around the shul today. I don't know. In a regular minyan that has 20, 30 people, are there really 10 people who are actually paying attention to the words of Chazaras HaShatz and answering amen the way we're supposed to? We have to consider that. We have to think about it. Now, says the Chayyadim, we have a very great difficulty trying to pay attention today. And therefore the Chayyadim says, this is the reason why the minhag has developed, that although it's true, Berovam Hadras Melech is certainly the preferred option that one person should make on behalf of many, but it's just not practical, because we cannot pay attention. And in order to perform the mitzvah properly, in order to have the bracha really count for me, I have to really listen to the person who's making the bracha on my behalf and have in mind to be yotze with him, and he has to have in mind to be motzi me. So it's not so easy. You don't always have all those components, and therefore he comes to the conclusion that this is why today we don't have this option as the preferred option. This is also the conclusion given by the Mishnah Berurah that today we generally assume that we should try that everybody should make the bracha on their own. Once again, when it comes to Kiddush on Friday night, we're all sitting around the table anyway, and we're all paying attention, and we're all focused on the person, and we don't have phones with us, so that takes away most of the distractions, so we have the ability to still be able to pay attention and to listen along to the person's making Kiddush. I know every time my father makes Kiddush at home, he always starts and he says, "Can ladies and gentlemen please be seated?" And then he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, are you all ready?" Right? This is why we say, Savri Maronon V'Rabbanon V'Rabbosai. We invite all the people who are listening to us to please join in and to listen and pay attention while we're saying Kiddush on their behalf. It's not just a word that's there for nothing. We're saying it because we want to make sure that those who plan to be Yotzei, the mitzvah, with us, are going to listen and actually have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah the way they're supposed to. So basically, although Berovam Hadras Melech is a very important idea, sometimes practically it might not work out because, like the Chayyadim and the Mishnah Berurah write today, we don't always have the ability to have that attention span that is necessary in order to be Yotzei our brachos with other people. Amir Tzashem, we will continue next week with the Maseches Megillah. We didn't get to all the questions, but